Morning everyone, great to have you joining us here today for ENBC at Home. David and I are here in the church office, hanging out, recording this message.
Morning everyone.
Last week was our Vision Sunday and we spoke about a new way of living. And we spoke about following Jesus as we live connected, be transformed and change the world. And I spoke about living connected, about becoming a church family where we support and encourage and do life together, about where being transformed is ultimately about seeing transformation in our life through the Holy Spirit and changing the world, you know, living in love, that love that just contagiously flows out into our community. And you know, our desire of our heart is to really grow in our walk with Jesus and to see his church growing. It's a God's eyes vision and, you know, longing in our hearts for more people to come to know Jesus Christ. Today then we're going to be looking at what it means to live connected. And as an introduction, we want to tell you about a key word. The New Testament was written in the original Greek language of the people, everyday common language. And the word that expresses community, the word that expresses fellowship, is the word koinonia. David, I don't think I pronounced that right. How would you pronounce it?
We have struggled with that. Speak, Martin. Why don't we ask Google?
We'll ask Google.
Right, okay, let's see.
Koinonia.
There we go. This is a super exciting word. It's not talking about people getting together to eat crisps and watch a bag and watch a game of football. This word is dynamite. It's about people doing life together in such a way that they share love with each other, that they encourage each other in their daily walk with God, that the life that they live as followers of Jesus together impacts and is a witness to the people looking on. You know, they see the followers of Jesus in all their diversity and all their different, you know, life stories, actually loving each other, and it's just a witness to them. It's doing life together through prayer. It's doing life together as we discern and make decisions and take communion and baptize believers. In other words, this word expresses a community. It expresses a fellowship that are growing as they follow Jesus, and that they're growing also in their mission out into the world. So it's about a dynamic, Christ-centered community, living together and growing as a church together. And I know this is a long introduction, but we are super excited about this word and about what it means for us today. But David's now just going to tell us a bit about some of the church news.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. So we're really encouraged that Restore has started back recently, and there are still four opportunities in the month of September to get along to Restore and to receive prayer, including this coming Thursday, the 10th of September. So we would encourage you to come for prayer, and if you want to do that, please arrange that through Mary in the church office. Just a wee reminder as well that we do have a church meeting on Zoom on Thursday the 17th of September, and the details for that meeting have been circulated through post. Church members have received letters about what that meeting is about and how to join that meeting on the 17th of September, so please remember to join with us that evening. And in these days, as we think about the vision, we want to continue to be together as a church to pray. So tonight at 6:30 p.m, join us as we pray for the church family, for what is going on in the world. If you need the details for that meeting, you can contact Albert or any of the pastors, and we'd be happy to give those details to you, as well as us praying and Wednesday evenings as well. Again, we're so glad that you've been able to join with us today as we think about what it means to live connected. And it's great that we've got three people from the church family that have sent in clips to us. And they're going to share, and we'll hear from them about what it means for them at ENBC to live connected. So our first clip we're going to see now comes from Angela Jameson.
Good morning, church. Angela Jameson here to share some of the ways I've been able to stay connected with God and people during lockdown 2020. Prayer has been incredibly important to me through this time. Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People, I like the simple and the normal in the title, helped and encouraged me to grow in my prayer life. There were also 8 online sessions on practical ways to pray. Invaluable has been the online Zoom group prayer on a Sunday evening, where we get together as a church and pray for others. Even though I've had more time in lockdown, I find the need even more to be intentional when it comes to spending time with God. Life group has been a lifeline through this time. I thank God for the amazing ladies in my life. Prayer has been a huge part of our time together. We have shared grief and loss, illness, new birth, healing, and so many answers to prayer. We have lifted each other up when we have been down and have had many laughs along the way. I've loved the connection, the unity, love, openness and compassion that we have as a life group. Thank you. I am so thankful to the pastors and leaders in the church for all your teachings over the last few years on habits and routines and encouraging us to pick up the Bible each day. It has made this time easier as I had already developed the daily practice of reading the Bible and using apps such as the Bible in 1 Year and Lectio 365. For someone who still finds it difficult to switch her television on, I never thought I would hear myself saying that technology is great, but it's been fantastic during lockdown. I have to thank everyone, friends, family and church who have hosted all the Zoom chats that I've been on, because if it was left up to me, we wouldn't have been on anything. I've made new friends through regular phone calls, inspiring wise ladies who have been such a wonderful part of my life through these challenging times. They've shared stories of their lives and families and their walk with God with me. Text, WhatsApp, card writing, even some letter writing has helped me keep in contact with friends, family, neighbours and church. And as we've opened up a bit more, it has been so good to start to see more people face to face with a 2 metre distance, of course. I've treasured the extra time that I've got to spend with Neil, my husband, as he usually works away and he's been working from home, as well as special times with my 2 girls. Having a dog has helped us to keep connected to our local community. If there were times when I wasn't feeling like worshipping God or praying, a walk with Max in nature reminded me of how wonderful and creative our God is. We were not intended to live alone. God created us for community. I can't wait until we can all meet again, safely. Take care and God bless.
Thank you, Angela. That was great, and it was just great seeing those kind of rolling hills. And it kind of, I think we'd all admit over the last few months that there've been kind of times where we've been up and times where we've been down a bit. And Angela's just really captured for us the importance of community that keeps us going and keeps us encouraged. We're going to worship God together now, and I'm going to hand over to Ruth, who's leading us in our worship today. But before I do so, let me just lead us in a prayer together. Father God, thank you that you unite us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We are in your family. That is the church. We're your people, your family that gathers together. And, you know, today, as we gather, you know, across our homes, we are so aware of your love that connects each of us. We are so aware of your grace that sustains us each moment, and your presence that leads us and empowers us in our lives. Lord, we just ask that you would come now into the homes of each person watching this and just minister into our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Save and save. Transformed by this one thing to know.
Thank you, Ruth, for leading us in that time of worship together. You know, I've never been a big reader. Certainly when I was growing up, I wasn't a big reader. But one of the books that hooked me as a child was The Lord of the Rings by G.R. Tolkien. And the first book is called The Fellowship of the Rings. And you'll excuse me if I geek out for a moment. But it had hobbits, it had elves, it had men, it had dwarfs, and you know, they came together not to toast marshmallows, but they came for a life and death mission to save Middle Earth. And this story is not about one person conquering evil. It's about this diverse group of kind of beings pulling together against the odds to win the day. That's the geeking out stopped. You know, there is a danger that when we think about, you know, Christian fellowship and community, that we picture church folks sort of sitting about toasting marshmallows, singing Kumbaya. That couldn't be so further from the truth. It's about us coming together for a life and death mission. We are united together and encouraging each other daily in our walk with God and in our mission to share his love. You know, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are called into fellowship. We share together. We share together the new life that we have in Jesus Christ. And this unites us. And we're sharing and living out this new life together. And so the foundation then of doing life together is our shared relationship with Jesus Christ. And this is what makes church so exciting. You know, this mixture of different people, different life stories, different cultures and settings that have found new life in Jesus together. So for a few moments today, David and I are going to share with you from the book of Acts. We're going to look at four examples of the early church doing life together. And we're going to look at their passion for growing together, their passion for serving together. And we're just going to hear also from a few more folks in the church about how important it is to live connected and what that means to them and their walk with Christ. So let me just pray. And then David's going to lead us into our first section, looking at Acts chapter 2. Father God, as we turn now to your word, we are so thankful that you have called us into fellowship. You've called us into community. You've brought us into family through your Lord, through your Son, Jesus Christ. And just help us now to understand what it is to live out a life of, in many ways, a life of action, and this life that we're called to, to share in fellowship together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to now just open our hearts and our minds to all that you want to say to us in and through your word. And we just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you, Mark. And let me read to you now from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Here's what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and fills the believers. The Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit whom Jesus spoke about, that counsellor, that comforter, and the Holy Spirit who would take residence in each believer. That moment comes earlier on in Acts chapter 2. And what we have here and what we have just read about is the early church. A church, you know, that was full of people filled with the Holy Spirit. A people who knew what it was to live connected. And we see that in verse 42. Their togetherness and their unity is shown as they commit to what's most important. That is committing themselves to the word of God and to praying together and fellowship, that koinonia, and remembering Jesus together as well. We also see in verse 43 that they share a deep sense of awe as they recognise God working among them, but also working through them. You know, in verses 44 to 46, we see the togetherness again as they meet together, whether it's in homes or whether it's at the temple. They worshipped together, they shared together everything that they had. They gave to those who were in need, and they shared with great joy and generosity. And what is the outcome of all of this? Well, we read in verse 47 that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The outcome of this is that they were an effective witness. As they live connected together, God is at work, adding to their fellowship. You know, what a church that was, the early church. Fantastic. This togetherness, this unity, this koinonia needs to be a reality for us at EMBC. That is what we're striving for as we think about what it means to live connected. This is what a living connected community looks like. What a church. What an example.
Thank you, David. It's such an exciting church family that we read about there in Acts 2. We're going to jump into Acts 4 now. And in Acts 4, Peter and John have been arrested, and then they're released, and they come back to the group of believers, and they report what has happened, and then they pray. And this is what we read. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You know, what a dynamic meeting that was. Here they are coming together and they're praying together. And it's staggering. We see their outward focus. You know, it's not that they were like, "Poor Peter, poor John." They're like, "More, Lord, more boldness, more miracles." And they're filled with the Holy Spirit, we read. And, you know, when we are coming together and when we're pursuing God together, there is an outpouring and an infilling of the Spirit into our lives that will increase in each of us a boldness to speak more and show more of the love of God. You know, we're starting to look at Wednesdays now on developing a life of prayer. We're just going to have short episode, bullet point episodes about developing a life of prayer. And, you know, part of living in the wonderful community that God brings us in is actually encouraging one another in prayer. And I think at times we can be scared to be vulnerable in asking each other, "How's your prayer life?" I think sometimes we think, "Who am I to ask that question?" Or maybe we're a bit nervous about asking it and someone replying to us, "Well, I pray an hour in the morning, an hour at lunchtime, and an hour at night," and we are left feeling a bit rubbish about our own prayer life. You know, let us not be afraid in asking about how we're doing with prayer, so that we can encourage each other in prayer. You know, coming together in prayer is one of the most important callings on the local church. Whether it's two of you together, you know, whether it's down the phone on a Zoom meeting, whether it's in your life group, whether it's a bigger kind of time like we do on a Sunday evenings, you know, coming together in prayer is so important. You know, when you've got a dynamic Christ-centered church fellowship community meeting together in prayer, then we will see things happening and we will increase in boldness in our witness for God. Okay, we're going to watch now another media clip from one of the folks in our church, Emma Jones, and Emma's just going to share for us now what it means for her to live connected.
Hi everyone, hope you're all doing well. Emma here, one of the Merge life group leaders, which is the teen life group that runs through church. As a group, we met sort of once, twice a month before lockdown, so actually sort of living connected through lockdown benefited us, because we actually at the beginning met twice a week on a Monday and a Wednesday, which was really, really good. Gave us the opportunity to do some consistent studies, even looking at the end times, which was really interesting, and it led to some really honest conversations and accountability, and I'm sure the group won't mind me saying that, but I know, like, for myself, there was definitely a lot more encouragement and accountability for reading my Bible a bit more and just being honest about where I was in my journey, and I think we definitely all helped each other with that. Another way that I've been living connected is with my mentor. I would definitely recommend getting a mentor. It just has, again, that honest conversation, but it just builds that friendship. So my mentor is someone that I can text about the good, the bad, the indifferent, friendly or looking for advice. Again, we utilise Zoom and just having that face-to-face conversation, even though it was over video. And then last month was really, really good to meet up for a socially distanced walk and a coffee and a chat. We have been studying James and reading the Word together, but it's also just a time of fellowship. How's life going? What's been good about your week or what's been not so good? And time in prayer together, which is just so important. And reassuring that somebody can just be praying for you on a personal level at all times. And I think probably the third thing that I would say is family church. I'm a Sunday school teacher when we're in the church building. And for me, it's been really special to still be able to do like Sunday school prep. It's just that it's for a family. And it's just been so encouraging to see that families have not only done it, but they've really enjoyed it and also shown us like the pictures and the crafts that the children have made. So even though we've not all been in the same building, church is very much alive and very much connected. So hope that was a bit of encouragement and you enjoyed hearing from me. But stay safe and hopefully see you soon. Bye.
Well, thanks for sharing with us, Emma. It's great to hear from different people in the church family about what living connected means to them. You know, see another example of what it meant for the early church to live connected in Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch. Let me read for you from Acts 13 in the first three verses. Among the prophets and teachers of the church at Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manion, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them." So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Here we see again in Acts 13, a church that is together, the church at Antioch. A big decision had to be made. And what do we see? We see the togetherness of the church. We see the church together practicing the spiritual disciplines, worshipping, fasting, praying. You know, it wasn't that long ago as a church family that we were having a real focus on the spiritual disciplines. But what stands out here is that they were united and that they were together in these disciplines. They committed to these things together. And what was the outcome of their togetherness? It was Paul's first missionary journey to Cyprus. And what happens as they live connected, as they're together in the spiritual disciplines? The gospel goes forth. The gospel goes out. The life-changing message of Jesus is going out to others. That is so powerful, isn't it? When God's people come together and live connected, the power of that message goes to those who need to hear it. You know, that is a connected, a united fellowship that shares and has a heart for the gospel to go to others. I came across this quote recently in thinking about this particular passage. I'm going to read it to you now. There must have been a stir in the church in Antioch. Change was afoot. Two key leaders were about to depart for an undetermined amount of time. It could not have been easy for the fellow leaders or the rest of the church there, but throughout a period of prayer, worship and fasting, the church had come to a clear sense of God's guidance. They acted in faith and followed God's leading into this change. The result was the first missionary journey, the continuing spread of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. So as we at EMBC strive to live connected, we can take great confidence that as we do that, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go to those who need to hear it and reach the lost.
Thank you, David. And now we're into our final text in Acts. We're in Acts 16, a story you know well in EMBC, it's one of my favourites, so I mention it a lot. But in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, we know they're flung in the prison. We know they've been beaten up. They're put in the inner cell. And then we read this. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And we know what happens is an earthquake and the jail shakes and the gates open. And you can read the story later on. But this always amazes me. There they are in prison. Their life's at risk. They've been beaten up. And these two men who both love Jesus, who are living connected, they start to pray together and worship God together. You know, it's just amazing me that in that moment, they decide to have a worship time together. And that's one of the great things about living connected. That's that we can be in really difficult and challenging moments, and we can know what it is together to lift our hearts and praise and worship God. You know, as a family, we've been reading through The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And at one point, Corrie tells the story of her and her sister, Betsy, arriving in the concentration camp. And they've smuggled in little Bibles. That's a story of a miracle itself, how God enabled that to happen. And they're in the dorm and they're crammed full, it's just crammed full of women, and it's such a miserable setting, and it's so traumatic, and there's so much raw and painful emotions. And they bring out these little Bibles, and a group of them form, and they read the Word of God together, and they pray together, and strength is found. Now in Acts 16, and in that story I've just shared with you, it reminds us of the incredible support that we have in being in a community and living together with God's family, with our brothers and sisters, as we live connected and as we come together at times to pray and to worship Him. You know, sometimes, let's be honest, we find ourselves in such difficult situations at times that we don't even have the strength to pray ourselves. But in those moments, others can come alongside us and pray with us and pray for us. So we're going to hear now from one of the other folks in the church about, you know, living connected and about doing life together. And Mark Collins is going to share with us now.
Hello, everyone. I've been asked to share on how I stay connected in the church and in my Christian journey. A few things I'll do is I'm part of a life group. And it's just a group of us that can get together, and I'll talk about different things that's maybe going on in my life. I'll look at the Bible together or sermons that we've listened to, and we'll talk about what we get from that. And it's been great to get to know all of them and to grow together and kind of go through life together, which is amazing. So I'm getting experience and wisdom from people that have already went through different situations that I've not. I've also got a mentor, which is great. So we'll study the Bible together, and he probably knows me better than anyone in the church. We've been chatting for quite a while now, and we know each other. He knows me quite well. I can talk honestly and openly to him about exactly where I'm at, what I'm struggling with, what I'm finding challenging, and it's amazing having everyone round about me. Through lockdown, I went through some tough, challenging times, and everyone got round about me. I was in a space where I just wanted to give up. I just felt beat, and I was struggling to pray myself, and I reached out and spoke to other people, other Christians in the church. I spoke to people I've not even really met before and had conversations with, which has been amazing. It's an amazing network. I phoned a few people, then other people were phoning back, and I was getting practical advice as well as emotional and spiritual support. It was incredible. And if it wasn't for everyone getting round about me, I would still be struggling today, probably. It was amazing what everyone has done for me. When I first came through the doors of East Mains Baptist Church, I was overwhelmed by the love everyone showed me, and it's never stopped. I just love being part of this church. I love being part of this Christian family. And I don't feel as if I could ever give back what's shown to me and what's offered to me. But if there's anything ever comes up that I feel I can give something to or volunteer towards, then I will do. It's an absolute incredible experience, and I love you all very much. And I look forward to getting to know the ones I don't know well yet as well. That'll be good when we get back into church. Hope to see you all soon. Bye, just.
Well, thank you, Mark, for sharing that clip with us. I don't know about you, but that really excited me and inspired me afresh. As I give God thanks today for being part of the church family and being able to live connected. And I hope as well that you'll be encouraged in your spirit that God has called you to be part, you know, of the church family here at EMBC and live connected and be excited about that.
Thanks, David. And it's been great to just look at those four different scriptures from Acts and just see the early church just doing what David said there. They're living excited and just taking out the good news of Jesus. Now, I think, you know, we would all have to be honest that part of the challenge of these last months has been some of the isolation that we've all experienced in different ways. And, you know, depending on how we're wired, that will have affected each of us differently. You know, when you think about it, much of what we do in life, we do together with others. And so, you know, to try and be doing things separate has been really difficult. And, you know, we've got technology, we're able to record messages, we're able to go in Zoom meetings. But again, I think if we were being honest, we're starting to tire a bit by that. But at the same time, we remain thankful that we've got it, because we still don't know what sort of length of journey that we're on. So we just need to stay patient and keep encouraging each other. But I want to read to you a scripture from Hebrews. It just came to my mind during the week as we were thinking about this message. Hebrews 3, verse 13. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You see, we have a responsibility to encourage each other in our walk with Jesus so that we don't lose our way. And in a community, we keep each other going by saying the right things and by doing the right things. And that, one of the things that I find deeply challenging about that little text is it should be happening daily. You know, we should be living in such close connection with the followers of Jesus that you're receiving daily encouragement into your life to keep going. And so I guess if there's maybe something for each of us to take away from today, it's to, as soon as you're finished watching this, maybe just encourage someone. You know, I've said a few times that today, and David's mentioned it too, that, you know, as we're living connected, it's a dynamic, Christ-centered community that sees growth. We see that growth in each of our own walk with God as we encourage each other. And we see growth as we're a powerful witness together into our local communities. You know, that community that David described in Acts 2, it's not a historical event, it is for today. It's the characteristics of the community, of the fellowship, of the Church of God for today. And so we hope that that has just encouraged us all today to think again and to live out again what it means to be and live connected. So we're going to pray together, and then Ruth's going to lead us in another song of worship together. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we are able to, you know, just connect through watching this together, probably at all different times today, but we are still able to gather as a church family. But Lord, I think if we were really honest today, we would want to lament today how we've not been able to meet and do life together the way that we would usually do. We thank you for what we are able to do. But we know that it's been tough over these last few months. And Father, we pray maybe someone today who is watching this, who's still really, you know, just feeling the isolation and feeling being separated. Father, I pray at this moment that they would feel united, that they would feel that unity that we share because of the family that you've brought us into through Jesus. I pray that you would just put encouragement into their lives, Lord. I pray if they've maybe just kind of become really zoned in their own situation, that part of the way that you would just lead them out of that isolation is to encourage them to be an encourager to others. You know, sometimes we sit waiting for the phone call, or we sit waiting for the letter. And maybe what you're saying to some folks today is, don't sit waiting, just get going. Pick up the phone, you know, send a letter, Be proactive yourself, you know, and just as you do that, that will actually lift you up from maybe where you're feeling that today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are never alone because we've got Jesus in our lives. And maybe sometimes during this time that, you know, we've just been so aware, Jesus, that you are in our lives and that you are faithful and that you never leave us and that you are always with us. And we just thank you for that, Father. So, Lord, as we come to worship you now, we lift our voices in praise to you. We lift our hearts in adoration to you. And I just pray, Father, that your Spirit would be at work now in each home that is listening to this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
simple gospel. I will rejoice in you, Lord. I will rejoice in the simple gospel. I will rejoice in you, Lord.
Thank you so much for connecting with us today at EMBC at Home. It's been great to look at what it means to live connected. Next week, we're going to look at what it means to be transformed, and we're excited about that already.
Yeah, it's been great to share with you today about what it means to live connected, and there's an opportunity tonight to do that again at 6:30, as we would encourage you to come and join us for prayer. We do hope that you're encouraged today, and may God bless you in the week that lies ahead.
Thank you so much for joining with us today at EMBC at Home. David and I have loved being able to be here and just share God's word and encourage you today.
Yeah, it's been great doing this. And again, let me encourage you to join us tonight at 6:30 as we come together to pray. Amen.